Allison Rosen.
Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is your new best friend. On Monday, I sat down with Joe Coy.
My real name's Joseph Herbert. My
dad's, I didn't know that.
Yeah, my dad's last name is Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
So my real name is Joe Coy. And when I started stand-up, I tried to go up as Joseph Herbert, but, you know, see, that's why I changed the fucking name.
But it's making me laugh.
I know, but
imagine
doing open mic,
yeah,
and all you have is like 3-4 minutes, and literally the MC is making fun of your name, and then, of course, everyone in the audience is like, hey, pervert, you know, because it's open mic, you're at a mm-hmm. bar, so everyone's heckling, and I want to get away from that, and that's the only reason why. And I used my nickname, which was Joe Coy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, by the way, Joe Coy is how you say it phonetically. If you say it the way my aunt says it, it doesn't sound anything like that. The way she says Joe Coy. She goes, Joe Coy. Joe Coy, come on, let's see it. You know, it's very fast. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's where that all came from.
And then on Thursday, I was joined by Matt, Chris, Gary, and Jenna.
You don't hear us walking around talking about our boner problems or anything like that.
Oh, do you have boner problems?
Of course we have boner problems.
Every month, man. No, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Just like, once a month.
Yeah, just once a month. These horrible boner problems.
I, for one, would like to hear about the boner problems.
I just get cranky. I get irritable. Yeah. You know, and like,
I'll let you know I have a boner today. I'm on my boner.
Yeah. Does your girlfriend, like, do you warn her? Do you warn her?
I'm on my boner. Get closer. Yeah. Get closer. You don't want to stay away when your dude's on his boner.
No, if we're on our boner, we're actually a lot friendlier.
That's right.
And very complimentary.
It's sort of the anti-period, but we are more irritable.
Subscribe to Allison Rosen is your new best friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Fox Sunday. Don't miss the world premiere of Almost Human. In the year 2046, Detective John Kennex was ambushed and left for dead. Now, as he returns to the Force, it will take a machine.
I'm Dorian.
Are you a robot?
Yes, I am.
I'm not driving with one of those things.
To bring him back to life.
I can't say that I was born, but I was made to feel.
Fantastic. I get the synthetic with the bleeding heart.
Almost Human, premiering Sunday on Fox.
The Adam and Dr. Drew Show is brought to you by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free lifetime insurance quote, call 1-866-347-5748. That is 866-347-5748. Or go to smartterm.com. SmartTerm, TERM.com. That's 866-347-5748 and smartterm.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Really get it on. Thanks so much for joining the show. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Doug Benson is joining us in studio.
Hello.
Good to see you, Doug.
It's good to be here.
Doug's got a new web series, Getting Doug with High. It mm-hmm. streams live on Wednesdays at 4:15 Pacific. YouTube.com/Doug Benson is where you go. I'll be on the show soon enough.
That's Drew, what they're saying, is that you've agreed to do it.
I've agreed in principle to do everything, Doug.
Well, but, you know, on my show, we smoke weed for the entire show. It's 45 minutes.
You've never seen High with Adam. Adam with High.
I think I've smoked with Adam.
But I can get high.
It's a rare occasion.
I can get high.
Okay.
I might bring a little mangria.
All right.
Have a little each. Just, you know, even myself out just a little bit.
And Drew, of course, is welcome to sit there next to us.
I can't get high with you guys.
And mm-hmm. watch.
You have a brownie or something.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be the guy that
got
Dr. Mm-hmm. Drew to smoke on camera.
That's good ratings.
Yeah.
A couple things real quick, like us, not Dr. Drew, but my podcast, Borderline Thousand Oaks, that is tomorrow at 8 p.m. We're doing a live podcast. And me, BevMo, tomorrow, 6 o'clock in Ventura County. 6 o'clock in Ventura County. I know. It used to be 5. It is now 6. I've done the math on this.
Why don't we ever do a live podcast?
We'll do that.
All right.
We'll get that set up soon.
You're doing a show from the BevMo?
Signing some bottles of mangria at the BevMo.
You don't have your signed bottles?
6 o'clock. You got to get a signed bottle.
Come on, Doug.
All right.
Doug, Oh, and I should say also that Doug's doing some live stand-up shows, Houston, and that's tomorrow, November 15th, and Warehouse Live. Also, Portland, November 23rd, Helium Comedy Club. Doug, traveling about, doing stand-up. Still into it? Getting tired? How's the feeling on traveling around the country?
Because Adam's tired.
Well, I'm
sure. A lot of comedians are tired.
Yeah, it's it can be exhausting, but as you know from your schedule these days, one way to keep it interesting and not get too sick of it is to just have different things you do at each stop. You know, mm-hmm. So I'll do a Doug Loves Movies one night, and then the next night I'll do a movie interruption where me and my friends sit in the movie theater and, you know, talk during the movie.
Right.
And then another night I'll do stand-up. And,
right.
You know, and I've got, you know, several other podcasts that I do that can travel. So,
right.
So I'm always doing different kinds of shows, even though I'm traveling a lot.
No, no, exactly what you mean, which is if you're just doing stand-up and maybe the same act or close to it night after night – you get a little burnt out, but you go and mix it up. You do a different format.
Yeah.
You do a lot of improvised stuff.
Bring some joy to it. Yeah. I like that audiences are willing to pay to just hear me and my friends, you know, talk shit and good things to say about movies or whatever.
But it's a new thing. It didn't exist. It didn't – when I say it didn't exist 3 years ago, I'm not exaggerating. It didn't exist 2 years ago, really, this – kind of go up there, bring out some guests, and wing it sort of thing. Stand-up was pretty well orchestrated. It's meant to be like magic in the sense that it's supposed to look like one thing, but it's really quite well orchestrated, you know?
Yeah.
And a guy comes up and does his act, and even if in the middle of his act, he goes, oh, wait a minute, I just thought of something, man. I guarantee you he said that same thing last night, the night before, and the town before, and the weekend before. So you can get a little...
Yeah, sometimes you're lucky enough to catch it on the first time. But a lot of great jokes are created on stage, and then we cheat and act like we're recreating it every time.
Right, but listen, if you're skilled, just like the magician is skilled, then if you see it for the 135th time and Doug Benson goes, oh, wait a minute, I just thought of something, if he's good at what he does, which is a good illusionist, you then believe him and it feels satisfying.
Yeah.
Because you don't know that he came up with that thing in
Portland. Well, especially my crowd doesn't know because they could have seen the show the last time I was in town. And then they come back and go, I don't know what you said, but I remember it was fun.
Is there anything different when you go to Colorado or Oregon now or Washington?
Oh, it's those states have been so far ahead of everybody that it's
already
been, it's been pretty. But, you know, I haven't done a show there yet where people light up during the show. That'll
well, but I wonder if it diminishes, if the humor is not as interesting to them because the bloom is off the rose. They've like gotten where they need to go and that's that.
Yeah, but the whole argument of like people do it and people are interested in it because it's illegal that's hooey. Because people wouldn't get drunk as much as they do if they were just doing it.
I actually
because it was illegal for a
no,
while.
No, I actually agree with you, and that's why I was asking that question because I think Colorado and Oregon are sort of case studies.
Uh-huh.
Is it Oregon, Washington? It was Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, right?
Oregon hasn't gotten on board yet.
So Washington, Colorado. Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's shocking to me that they didn't get there first because, you know, Oregon, they already use weed as currency.
But Oregon is weird, though. There's a very conservative group within that people don't understand. I, when Adam stood me up once at Oregon State, recall?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
oh, that. God damn it. I swear to fucking God, you guys listen up. You know this happens a lot. It happens to me a fucking lot because, like, my wife will do this. She'll know I don't want to go to my daughter's kindergarten sing-along, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll tell her, like, what happened. Like, I'll go, I went to the school, I parked, I went in, I went to her classroom, I banged on the door, I opened the door, no one was in there. Then I walked to another room and no one was in there. Then I found Sonny's teacher and I said, where is Natalia? Where's her class? Where's the sing-along? And she said, it's in room 221. So I opened the door to 221 and I opened the door and there's just three teachers in there eating and they're all just looked at me. So I walked around again and I thought I knew the room and I reached for the door. And I swear to God, Sonny's teacher said, not in there. Not, no, no. Don't bother opening that door. She's not in there. And I said, fuck it. And I went home. Well, they were in there. And the teacher literally stopped me.
Sonny's teacher, as I was
reaching for the door and said, your daughter's not in that classroom. And I went, well, I'm out of ideas. And I'm parked in the 20-minute parking, by the way. So fuck it. And I drove home. And my wife's reaction the whole time was, okay, so you didn't want to go? And I was like, I was there. I was looking. I went through three classrooms. All right, well, we're disappointed that you didn't want to go. And I was like, you're right. I didn't want to go, but I was there, and I did go through. This fucking thing with Drew, you and your fucking manager, I went to the fucking airport to go do the show in Oregon. The flight was canceled. They canceled the fucking flight because of weather. I tried to get on another flight, and they said, well, that flight's going to land later than this flight is going to land. So I tried a few more flights, and I went home because the place was socked in, my flight was canceled. Yeah. And then Drew and fucking Howard, your manager, is always like, so you didn't want to go to that gig? You should have just said something. And I'm like, I went. Yes, I didn't want to go. I don't want to go anywhere. But I went to the fucking airport, and the flight was canceled. All right, but if you didn't want to go, you should have said something. And I'm like, stop fucking putting this in the column of me not wanting to go. The
flight, it should be in the you were lucky you didn't have to
right,
go column.
The flight was canceled. I was at the airport. I didn't get there and miss the flight. I did not cancel the flight.
What flight was Drew on? How come he was there?
Hold on. That's where the story gets interesting. Because the visiting his daughter's grammar school is a perfect model for it's a perfect model for the Oregon State event, because Adam didn't want to go. He didn't want to go on the flight. I was already in Oregon when his flight was canceled because we knew that was the last flight out that day. We didn't want to risk it because they told us there's often fog in Oregon. So take the earlier flight in case the last one gets canceled. I was in Oregon. That's why I was there. Because I took the earlier flight. Adam didn't want to go. And
didn't want to go where?
And why'd I go? To Oregon. Whatever.
I was at the airport trying to get on the flight.
And we had arranged another airline to take him if he would run across the airport. And his response was, fuck it.
No, please. If you had another flight ready to go,
it was not ready
made
to go.
It
was a hassle. And you could have barely made it, but you weren't willing to try.
No, they were saying the airport was socked in or whatever it
in
is.
In any
and
event.
And we're not unwilling
but
to try.
But you – wait. But here's the point. Mr. Actions tell you everything you need to know. Motivation tells you, you know, behavior
Listen,
tells you
I
the story.
Hold on.
There it is.
No.
That's why people
Untrue.
Tell you you didn't want
to
go.
Fuck them. I catch the last flight to everywhere all the time because I don't want to get there 5 hours earlier than I need to get there. I take the last flight routinely. You guys know that if we're doing a show in Sacramento at 8 o'clock, I'll leave Burbank on a 5:45 flight or 6:10 flight and just go, fuck it, we'll get to the airport by 7:30.
No, you do that.
And
that's
all I ever do.
That's not an acceptable behavior.
I always say,
granted,
I'll take the last flight in. I went to LAX. I went to go get on the Alaskan Airlines flight. They said it's canceled. That is not me. Now, if that was something that was insanely important to me, and it was life or death, and I couldn't miss it,
and
so on and so forth, I would have taken an earlier flight to go, I'm not going to chance this.
Right.
But I routinely, on theaters that are sold out, show up.
I get it.
On the last flight.
So this event, how dare you? This particular event, Doug, how many people you figure he's letting down with this event?
Oh,
college.
I can't even, it varies wildly, but probably 1,000 people at least.
7,500. 7,500
no
people
way.
In a basketball stadium. It was one of the biggest ones we'd ever done.
And you went out there by yourself?
By myself. I'd never done it before, too.
Horrible.
It was horrible.
Of course it was horrible.
Oh, it went badly? They didn't like you?
No, it actually went okay, but it was a horrible experience to walk out for a certain
time. I never thought about it again.
Yeah, you have to be the funny one and the smart one.
And the reason for the story is, in the middle of my thing, some guy grabbed the mic, in the middle of the stadium, like at a tunnel, and started yelling about Jesus and John 1:18 and how everyone was going to hell in here.
How did he grab the mic? He just bum rushed you?
No, not my mic. It was we were moving around the room taking questions and stuff.
Oh, and the guy got it.
And the guy
got
it. And I was shocked in Oregon that's what I would run into. And backstage, I went, what the fuck was that? And they go, oh, no, they're out front. They're all over the place. We got tons of them. Tons of those in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that was my first exposure to that. So thus the story.
Yeah. Yeah, Oregon's interesting that way. Like in Eugene, Oregon, they're so
yeah, it
they're,
was,
they're so into weed there that if I'm just walking down the street, people offer to
this is Corvallis,
smoke me out.
I think. This is Corvallis. But yeah, but you're Doug. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, Eugene is like – I do a show there every year on April 21st because, you know, they celebrate. So they're so into marijuana there, they don't mind me being a day late after the big 420 celebration.
They still think it's 420.
It's still close enough. It's close enough.
I talked to some guys that are basically, you know, there's new pot entrepreneurs now.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. There's going to be big pot just where there's big tobacco. Remember, tobacco, plant. It was a plant that made people high. Same thing. Same model, same situation. We're going to see that soon.
Well, it was a plant that altered people.
It made you stimulated. It just had more of a cocaine effect than a downer effect, than a Xanax effect.
Yeah, but I just say made you high because the guys I know smoke now don't – they just need it. But either way – It's tobacco. Yeah, it's a plant, and you roll it up, and you light it on fire, and you smoke it. And these guys were talking about the revenues that were coming in
massive
to some of these places and what California could do if California legalized this stuff and then started exporting some of this stuff.
And exporting and taxing it. Why not?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Mike August about this. And
you want to get into the business, what you're saying?
He'll do anything.
We'll call it Ganjgria.
Somebody jokingly said Mangria pacifiers to Mike, jokingly. And he was like, why? Yeah, no, it's a good idea. And someone's like, no, it's for kids. And he's like, huh? Oh, yeah. And then about once a month, he goes, we got to get going with those Mangria pacifiers. They're like, no, Mike, that's a joke. You don't
no,
do that.
Just, they just suck on
Ganjagria.
People can suck on a Mangria.
Ganjagria.
Yeah,
pacifier at a rave.
He said that, you know, always talk about.
Manganja.
You know, like California really doesn't do a good job of spending and taxing and things like this. We rely on these waves that come in, like the tech sector and stuff like that, that just bring all this money in, and then we squander it away, and then we run dry for a while, and then there's some other big bubble that comes in. But weed could be that next thing here in California.
Yeah.
And I know everyone's kind of sitting back and looking and seeing what goes on in Colorado and other places, but it looks like that'll be the next one for California.
Are you thinking California be next?
Well, what I'm saying is these guys I spoke to, the money that's being left on the table.
Yeah, I know.
That is now going into the hands of, I don't know, the Mexican drug cartels or the guys up in Humboldt or whatever, could just be going into the pockets of the city and ultimately, and the state. Ultimately, you think about it, when it comes to, you know, morals, they have the lottery.
Gambling.
It's gambling for dumb people. They do it because it makes them a ton of money. So that's that. So ultimately, they're not nearly as moral as they'd like you to think. They're really just kind of about what's going to make us money. They wouldn't be fucking with everyone with all the fucking parking tickets if they were good guys. They're assholes who want money. I don't get it. Let's just make the money.
You get it both ways. You tax people for the marijuana, and then it may be, you know, maybe less children will be buying it because they're priced out, you know.
I'm very neutral on the whole thing. I really am. I would love to see the government get out of my pocket.
I think the taxes are going to be pretty high in Colorado, as I understand
on
it.
On the drug?
On the marijuana, yeah.
Let me ask something in earnest.
Where are going to be? Aren't they already up and running, or who's up and running?
Well, they're, you know, they have dispensaries, but apparently it's not legal until January 1st. That's when.
Right, that's right.
That's when it's legal to
Let me ask something, though, in earnest that I don't ever get that chance to ask questions about, because it's sort of my question, which is, I fucking can't function if I take a Benadryl. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I could not get through my day if I didn't sleep the right amount of time, or I take my blood pressure medicines wrong. I get a headache. How do you function? Does it take the wind out of your sail in any way?
I guess, yeah.
How does it work? How do people do that? That's the part that's confusing to me. Or do they just not aware? It feels so good. It doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah, well, some people just, you know, they just have managed to learn to live with it. But others, you know, there's days that get ruined because you, you know, you smoke too much or you smoke too strong something. And then you just your brain wants to do something else. You go elsewhere. But it's just like, to me, it's like any kind of procrastination, you know, like. Everyone watches TV too much, you know, and then the stoners are especially
prone
to that. Like and video games. Like I don't have video games in my home, so I can't get high and waste a lot of time playing video games. But I can still get high and waste a lot of time on the internet or watching movies or whatever. But I'm just a lazy person to begin with. Before I found weed, I was a lazy. I mean, I'm a stand-up comedian because I'm a lazy person. So
I always said that about. Oh no, I said he's very talented and funny,
hardworking.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like you, especially in the early days of being a stand-up, it's just all about hanging out with your buddies at night and sleeping all day.
But Drew, people. First off, I notice we can all just sort of go on autopilot and get through it. Get through a basic day. It's a surprise at what most people can do, not even thinking about it. I mean, look at the people that get, you know, high on Ambien and then they go out and they go drive to the liquor store and they buy some Funyuns and then they come home again and then
don't
they eat the Funyuns and they're like essentially out the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at our sort of motor repetition, what we're able to do while completely and utterly out of it. And I think there's people that live whole lives, like,
well, listen,
kind of out of
listen,
it.
Listen, last night we did an open forum. We asked the question of – we noticed that there's a lot of women calling Love Now, Live Now complaining their male partners are sort of – aren't keeping up sexually or aren't interested in sex. And I hear from young males all the time like, women are they're such a hassle. I'm like, porn's good. I'm good with that. I don't need to go out and hassle women. They're such a pain in the ass. Literally, we hear this now. Mm-hmm. This is a major change.
Yeah.
So we asked the question, what is that? Where's that coming from? And substances, not just substances, but pills also became up big on the thing. Like, well, we're all taking meds. We're all high. We're all drinking.
Right,
we're all whatever.
Right.
And, you know, we just – the sex drive's gone.
Well, you got to understand, too, that they have in their everyday life, simulation has become a pretty big part of their life.
Porn. Simulation. You mean that or you mean
no,
the internet?
No, first I mean – playing video games
and
simulating stealing a car and simulating flying a World War II aircraft or killing a Nazi or something. It's like when we were growing up, the only simulation there was a pretty active simulation. Like you could take a refrigerator box and make it look like a pirate ship, but you'd have to cut it out and get some tape out and then make a fake hat and stand in it and stuff like that. There was a simulation, but it was like a mechanical simulation. It was active.
Acting out simulation.
Right.
Rather
so
than sitting, watching.
The kids today, I hate to say, sound like grandpa, but grandpa. Look, whether you're driving a car game.
Is this something unusual?
You're driving a car. It's a simulated car game. You know, you're fighting a war. It's a simulated thing. Why does that stop at the in the bedroom?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't that just carry over
and then
eventually sort of replace life?
Yeah, wait till the 3D stuff comes, or the holograms come in and stuff. It's over then.
Well, there's a thing where in 1980, you know, 96% of your life was real. And 4% was closing your eyes and beating off or looking at a Hustler magazine or just watching Fantasy
Watch
Island
movie. Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
And
now,
people were concerned about that then.
Right.
Remember?
Okay, now what percentage of a 22-year-old male's life is fantasy simulation? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many hours a day playing a video game?
Half.
You know, on the computer, doing whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there is a large chunk that has become fantasy / stimulation. You mentioned it's going to get larger. And at a certain point, there's just going to be some 22-year-old dude sitting with some 22-year-old chick on the bed, both looking at their laptops or fucking their avatars. I mean, if there's a God, that's where we're heading, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to, you know what's going to happen though? You know what always happen? We'll go full circle and we'll come back to like Amish.
We'll just drop electronic.
Everything will go weird.
Electronic medium.
Something will happen.
Yeah, just old-fashioned, fully clothed sex.
Yeah, maybe weird messiah leader kind of guy, some charismatic guy who has a beard with no mustache.
Leads
he'll
you
like
back.
Come around, and next thing you know, everyone's going to be like churning their own butter and all that.
Yeah,
kind
but it has
stuff.
To be let out through like real life sex. That's got to be the call. Like he's got a giant staff with a penis on it. Like we're gonna bring sex back to the flesh.
Either way, the percentage of life that is simulated or fantasy is going to get much greater. I don't think that's a great thing. My kids are already living it. That what people can do high, what people can do drunk, what people can do altered is pretty unbelievable, provided they've done it a couple times before, like operate. A piece of equipment or something like that. Once you get that motor thing repetition, you're lightweight, Drew.
Yeah.
Most people, by the way, go through life, even if they're not altered chemically, they're just somewhere else doing whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy who's, you know, scanning the thing behind the counter, his job is just scan the box and slide it down to the end of the thing. That guy's a million miles away. He's not somewhere where people are smart. He's just a million miles away hanging around with other dopes in his head. Mm. That's where we're at.
And listening to this podcast.
And mm-hmm. I don't. Doug. I was just thinking about daydreaming and like how I'm never in situations where I do it. Like I guess a boring movie maybe, but like anytime you have your phone nearby, you don't need to daydream. You can look at what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Or at least with your circle of people.
Right, it's preventing some of that kind
you
of.
You know, what people are saying on Twitter. And
I think there is a certain amount. You see, I sort of try to preach the value, although everyone tells me to shut the fuck up, of doing a repetitive, physical, mundane sort of work where it's just physical, like literally just sweeping the floor, like just going, where am I going to start? Where am I going to finish? What am I doing here?
What do you think that does?
I think there's a part of us that needs a physical,
like almost like a way of meditating. Kind
yes,
of
a physical repetition that sort of comes from the.
Because I swept streets when I was one of my jobs when I was a kid, and that was I'd just go to the zen of street sweeping.
Yeah,
it had a certain kind of appeal.
I'd have jobs back in the day, and I don't necessarily. I recommend a certain amount of it. I don't want you to do it for a living, but where literally the guy said, do you see that pile of dirt there that's the size of two Denalis parked next to each other? It's like, yes. All right. Do you see that huge dumpster that's on the other side of the parking lot? Yes. You see the wheelbarrow and the shovel? Right. Don't go home until all that dirt is in that thing. And there was no headphones or anything, no earbuds or anything. Yeah. It's just back and forth, literally counting the steps, making up little games in my head to see it's 38 steps, then lift, then back, then, you know, seeing how many counting the shovelfuls and all that. And what is working out, Drew?
Mm-hmm. I mean, very similar.
It's very
you're right.
You need to run. What's running? It's just you. It's just one foot in front of the air. One foot in front of the air. It's the very.
It's a clearing kind of thing.
It's working out with even more accomplishment though.
But it clears your head.
Not just working out. You're getting all that dirt over into that.
Yeah.
Dumpster.
But the would turn out to be the wrong dumpster. But either way, I got something out of it. No. What I'm saying is
I blame the pot.
There is nothing more repetitious than working out.
Yeah, you're right.
Jogging is ultimate repetition.
I'm into
working
it.
Out is doing a push-up. The whole plan is no one yells, drop and give me one. If they do, I think they mean oral.
Yeah.
but the point is drop and give me 20. You know, it's repetition, and it's good for your brain. And people, my whole quest is, and again, it's Grandpa Corolla coming through.
Shocking.
Everybody is saying, don't do it. Let the other guy do it. Let somebody else put that dirt in that thing. You don't do it. You don't need to do it. You can pay somebody to do it. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't have someone else do it. And again, not 9 hours a day, but just like working out. It's like someone going, Drew, you're wealthy. You don't have to run on that treadmill. Right. Hire somebody to do it. Let somebody else handle that for you. You're a busy man. It's like, no, you get something from sweating and repetition.
You're right.
Why, Drew? Why is this not embraced? Why? It, but it why is the embrace. Pushback? Why
well,
the pushback?
No.
Working out is embrace.
Yeah.
But if we said to any of our wives, well, hey, yeah, pick up I, that well, broom, I you'd be like, oh.
It has a certain implication of being subordinated and that kind of stuff.
All right, yeah. But you see what I'm saying?
But strangely,
there,
yeah.
There is a sadness.
We've all done it. You ever done that kind of job? I've done menial
not,
labor.
Not very much, no.
It was not bad for me. It was not bad at all.
I spent my entire life, you know, doing my laundry, yeah. Cleaning my kitchen, just doing all that
well,
stuff.
Well, it does.
And it
does,
felt. Yeah, pretty good.
There is kind of a
satisfaction.
See, that's what one of the things that would worry me if I were smoking pot is that part of initiating action. There's a lot in the day where I got to force myself to do stuff I don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah.
And pot gets in the way of that.
It can. But it's, you know, my feeling is if I have a schedule and things I need to do, even
it.
If I'm getting high, I'm still going
to
do that.
You're able to push through.
But things where when you have something you know you should be doing.
Yeah, like
and
your underwear in the.
And you get high, yeah. Then you start thinking about the options. Yeah. You know, then other things start to seem more appealing, or sometimes I'll get so high that I get kind of frozen in decision making about like what I'm going to do next, you know, like, and so I'll just kind of find something frivolous to do.
Can I interrupt this conversation? I am so distracted by something. I cannot concentrate.
Go ahead.
There's somebody calling you from France up there on the board.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, and I've been looking at that for 10 minutes.
Burgundy.
We have got to get to this guy.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
And I've been the conversation
Matt,
has been
well, let's
good.
Do it. Yeah, sorry. Let's not act like potheads. Let's focus.
Let's focus, Matt, 50.
Hi.
Burgundy,
hi, guys.
France.
I'm actually American and used to live in L.A. for many years, but I moved to France a number of years ago. I love it here, but
before you ask your question, I've got a bunch of questions. Where are you? Where exactly?
Do you know the Saône-et-Loire, the Côte Chalonnaise?
The Loire Valley? Valley Loire?
Oh, the Burgundies.
Burgundy. So near Dijon and all that stuff?
Near south of Dijon, near Beaune, Chalon-sur-Saône.
Mm. Beaune is beautiful.
Where all the good wine comes
I like out. I like the gentrified part, the Dijonais. We're, you know, it's just a little wider. It's a little safer area part of the Dijon Valley.
No, Beaune is considered the area that has the best wine in all of France.
Oh,
in the
really?
Region. So,
la-di-da.
I think it's the best in the world, actually.
Yep.
But,
yeah. Thank you. I've driven through there a couple times. It's unbelievable.
I happen to love it myself. I mean,
they have a huge Grand Prix on Dijon every year.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
right,
yeah.
Matt?
There's no Formula One Grand Prix. I'm not sure if you're talking about old cars. Or
people say Grand Prix. They use it sort of generically. They don't realize the whole F1 stuff. But anyway.
All right,
they love rally racing here, but not, there's no F1 in Burgundy. The roads are all small and ancient.
Pick it up.
My question was I wanted to see the Hammer. I've been listening to you talk about it forever, and I can't get it over here. So one day I just said, screw it, I'm going to go to a pirate website and download it. And this was about the same time as you were starting the Road Hard and the Fund Anything. So I said, I'll reimburse Adam by, you know, making a nice healthy contribution to his movie. But I just wanted to get a copy of The Hammer and watch it. I've got a modern Samsung TV that I can plug a USB into, and that's how I, you know, do that's you know, everything's digital these days. I got my music on my iPhone. I don't want to deal with CDs. I get the movies online. I just want a way to be an honest citizen and pay for it. And I thought, since you're the pirate, the ship there, and you're the king of all media, I thought you would embrace the idea of publishing movies digitally and setting up some scheme for people to reimburse it. And some people will cheat, but I think overall it'd be a good idea.
We're going to try to get the movie back. The Weinsteins basically have it, and they sold it off, and some company bought it, and they're bankrupt, and it's kind of like just literally sitting as assets to some company that's bankrupt, and that's why it doesn't show anywhere, and the Weinsteins are the worst people in the world, and so on and so forth. So lesson learned.
Blah, blah, blah.
They're fucking horrible assholes. But either way, I mean, they screw everyone they deal with, basically. And that's just what they do. That's their, you know, that's the business model. But we're going to figure out a way to get it back and get it out there. And you should. I don't know how Amazon works. They don't do any international stuff.
Not much, and they tend to publish everything in dubbed into French here. If you go through like the French version of Netflix, it's going to be dubbed into French.
I feel like if you went to Amazon and ordered a copy on Amazon,
there's another problem because DVDs are regionalized. If I even if I go to LA three times a year, even if I bought one there, I couldn't play it on my DVD player here.
Oh yeah.
I would like to see Waldo speaking French.
Awesome.
Why not watch it while you're here in the States?
Why don't you fly out and watch it and fly home?
What are you doing in Bone?
Well, I'm a sort of a salesman for American companies around the Middle East and Africa and in Europe. I just help, you know, American companies do business in this region. That's my niche.
Wow. How's the taxes over there?
Oh, you know what? If you have to be present in France more than 240 days to pay taxes, otherwise there are no taxes. And since I travel a lot, I actually travel more than you guys, if you can believe it. I'm not subject to any French taxes, but as an American citizen, I still have to pay Uncle Sam.
What's the vibe on François Hollande?
Right now, he's got a 15% approval rating. He's nice. Down the toilets, and just I knew he was going to be a disaster.
Because he wants an 80% tax rate or something crazy.
75%
like
for the rich.
Yeah.
The poor don't pay that much. Middle class doesn't pay that much.
They have to
much,
pay their fair share, Adam.
Yes, very important that everyone pay their fair share.
We're only off by 15% here.
9 weeks
we're only
vacation.
Off by, with the state taxes, we're only off by 15%.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to work out perfectly, I'm sure. Hey, Matt, I wish I had a better answer for you, but thank you for contributing to Road Hard. Maybe Doug Benson will be in that movie. And I hope you enjoyed The Hammer. Sorry you had to bootleg it and all that stuff. But I don't know.
Still great, but yeah.
I wish we had a better answer because I was just going to send you out a DVD, but that's not going to work because the format's different on the DVD player.
Send him a DVD player also.
I think we could probably I don't think we could send you one of those USB whatevers. Oh. I don't know how that
I
works.
Just think it'd be worth thinking about. Doing a distribution.
Oh, we will. We will. When
digital files.
Thank you. We will with Road Hard, the movie. The Hammer was sort of pre all that stuff. It's probably about 7-8 years old now. But we'll figure it out. We'll get it back. We'll work it out.
And it would be hard to get those people that do have the rights to the Hammer to go after that money they could get by doing this. Like that's the other thing that's crazy about the business now, is that. They don't even go after some of this stuff that they could be making plenty of money off of.
Hey, Chris had an interesting idea.
Yes.
Could you watch the DVD on a laptop?
Oh, because the laptop's not formatted.
A small screen.
Yeah.
But you plug your,
yeah,
plug
he wants to see the Hammer on the
TV.
Big screen.
Could you plug the laptop into the TV?
Yeah, I suppose, but I used to do that, but it wasn't as good quality.
All right.
Like well,
you know what's going on here is he really doesn't want to watch it, and this is his way to not have to
watch
it.
I've already downloaded it for free. Like I said, I watched it. It's great. I loved it, but I had to pirate it in order to do that effectively.
Thank you. But he
paid his.
But you paid. You paid. So your karma debt has been erased, which is fine. And look, the little things in life where you do that kind of thing where you I felt I don't know if you guys are this way or not. I don't know how you feel, but I had this parking, you know, the underground parking thing, and I owed the guy $8, and I looked at my wallet and I had $3, and then I said, "Do you take credit cards?" And they said, "No, we don't take credit cards." And I just realized, like, I said, "All I got is this $3, you know." And then he's like, "Well, the $5 coming out of my pocket." And I'm like, "I will get you back the next time I'm back. I'll get you back, you know." And the guy's like, And I literally said to him, like, "Do you not believe me?" Because he was like, "He's doing the, you know." And I said, "Believe me," but it was like a big deal. Like it bothered the shit out of me that this guy reached into his own pocket. I knew he didn't believe me. The next time I came back, I made sure before he could bring it up, I said, "I think I owe you $5," and he said, "Yes, you do." But I could tell he was glad that I brought it up, and I could tell he was sort of glad that I gave it to him. But I don't know that if you guys are bugged by that shit as much as I'm bugged by that shit. I wish we had. I feel like our society was much more like when you said, "Yeah, I'll catch you on the way out." You meant it back in the day, or
people's,
"I'll catch you the next time I come around."
People's word meant something. Now it doesn't. Now you're a chump if you try to be honest.
What happened to your word? And then who's the joke on?
Yeah, everybody.
But I'm saying is you're the one whose word means nothing. Why is that? You know what I mean? Like I've said to people like. I feel like I've said a million times where I went like, here's what I did. And they went, like the airplane flight, Drew. And I said, I'm telling you, this is, and if people like do laps, are you sure you, and it's like, you're essentially calling me a liar. It's a weird thing. First off, here's the, I got a million questions. Why don't people know the people who lie and the people who don't lie? I don't lie. I don't fabricate, and I don't do a thing where I go, I did this, but I never did that. Like, I deal with it a lot in my life. Why do
Because liars are pretty good at it, pretty confident about it.
No, you know,
or they think they you know, like a guy like you could say, I'll get you next time, when in your mind you may already know that you'll probably never come back to that parking garage again. And then you're just off the hook. That's how a lot of people operate, I think.
I also realize that there's a lot of fabrication, let's call it, in the act of protecting an assertion. Powerful. Now listen, Drew.
I'm listening.
Tell me this, Drew.
Dig.
Can you tell me this?
Dig.
I had this situation yesterday where I was looking, it was a problem. The key was supposed to be hidden under the mat of the house, and it was gone.
Oh.
Gone. Who took it?
Oh.
It was there the night before, and then the next morning, it's gone, gone. And my wife is saying, I lifted it up, and it was gone. It was there the night before, and nobody had come around. And, you know, did Rob come around? Did Ray come around? No, they came later. And then, Olga, did you come around? Yeah, I came around, but the key was gone when I got there. And I was just sitting there just vexed, you know, just, it's gone. And then it was, somebody stole the key. Who stole the key? Who could have taken this key? And so that's where we were at. Mm. And I was just sitting there doing what I always do, which is, why would somebody come along, steal the key,
yeah, not
and not steal the TV set.
Right.
The door would be open and the place would
be
trashed.
The only possibility
through.
Would be that they're going to come back later.
And there was, yes, and there was a conversation. Maybe the gardener took it, you know, and it's like, well, why is the gardener?
All of a sudden.
And then why does he need the key? And then what's he doing? Yeah. So there's a lot of the key is stolen. I'm just sitting there thinking. My wife and Olga are going back and forth. Who stole the key? Where's the key? What happened to the key? I said, the mat's rubber, and it's black.
It's stuck to the bottom.
The key. Hold on. Let's not get racial here. Know what I'm saying? I'll leave that. The key is like copper color. We'll get into that in a second. I said, when you lifted the mat, I bet it's stuck to the bottom. It's just a flat single key sitting on what could be a moist rubber mat. So you lifted it up.
Yeah.
It's stuck to the bottom. You looked down. You didn't see anything there.
Yeah.
That's what happened to the key. She said, I checked. I looked under the bottom. It wasn't there.
Oh.
I said, oh. Then Olga chimed in. Oh, yeah, no. I took it. I shook it. I shook it. I shook it everywhere. I shook it around.
Well, now that messes up everything because the key could have flown off somewhere.
No. I said, okay. Well, there goes my theory about it being stuck to the bottom.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused, too. Moving on. Getting ready to leave for work an hour later. Found the key. Really? Where was it? Stuck to the bottom of the mat. I said, that is what I said. Oh, I don't know. Is that what you said?
Oh.
I said, yeah, that's what I said.
And they all said they looked.
Well, but here's my point. Now, here's the interesting part of life that I'm getting to. My wife is not a liar.
Yeah.
But like everybody, and I've noticed this a lot, she was going down a path.
Yeah, yeah.
And the path she was going down
somebody took
this key.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I jumped in to interrupt her path, and I said, maybe it's stuck to the bottom, she reflexively said, I looked.
Yeah.
Because I'd interrupted the path.
The really interesting thing would be if we had a video of when she actually checked whether or not she actually looked. Because she may have actually, in her head, thought she looked.
She thought she looked because this is what's going on. And maybe it's always gone on, which is somebody took this key. Now, I've offered a solution where somebody didn't take the key. Here's the way to thwart that solution. I checked. Now moving on. And Olga jumped in too. So I was immediately, the guy who basically had the sensible answer for where this key could be was pushed off because two people were rolling down stolen key highway and did not want to vary.
It's sort of a function called priming. Your brain primes to stuff.
Yeah. Right. And to the point where she said she looked under the bottom side.
And she may or may not. Her may have filled that in as something she thought she did.
I don't think she looked. I don't think she thought she looked. But when she was rolling down Stolen Key Highway,
yeah,
and I jumped in with this theory, then her brain jumped in and said, I looked. And this is why, by the way, she's not a liar.
No.
This is not her lying. Rolling down. This is why you got to realize people up on the jury stand, eyewitnesses to things.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that.
Oh, no. People have studied that. They're very flawed in what they report.
Right. In Lynette's mind, she looked.
They have their own whatever they wanted this scenario to be for their own purposes.
It fills in for various reasons. But memory is a very imperfect thing. But you want to know something perfect? Stamps.com.
Ah.
Perfect. They're perfect. Doug, you know what this is?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. It's because
it's the perfect stoner.
It's perfect for what you were talking about earlier. Why leave the house to get stamps?
Exactly. Anything you do at the post office, you can do with stamps.com. All the services of the U.S. Postal Service at your desk 24/7. Use your computer and then you print to buy. Use your printer to print and buy and then print official U.S. postage for any letter, package, class of mail. Just hand it then to the mailman. And we, of course, have our special offer. If you use the code ADESC, it's a no-risk trial and a $110 bonus, a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage for the particular thing you're trying to send. Comes up in your computer, print it out on your printer, and then $55 free postage. $55 U.S. tender. Ridiculous. Go to stamps.com now. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. Stamps.com, promo code ADS.
Doug, you'll particularly enjoy the digital scale that plugs in the computer.
Yeah.
And Drew, you'll be happy to know.
can I weigh my weed on it?
That's what we're saying.
I didn't say that. I said you'll particularly enjoy it. That's not what I said, Drew. You'll be happy to know that I marched
Cut that out.
I was standing by the front door ready to leave, and I marched right back in the kitchen. I found Olga. I told her to take those earbuds out. I said the key stuck to the bottom.
And what'd she say?
She took it.
Did she actually? It's shaking. It didn't come off. You should do a little experiment. See if it
sounds like if she sounds like if she shook it. She also didn't look to see why shake it and not look to see what you're trying to shake off.
Here's what Olga was shaking off, and what Lynette was shaking off. You and your theory that is interrupting my theory. Is screwing with my theory.
Yeah.
This key was stolen.
It's wasting time. Somebody's got the key and you're wasting time with theories, your sticking theory.
Just like when cops have theories about what happened, they get going down that highway and they don't want to be interrupted. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not lying. It's just a new reality that's not the truth, but it's somewhere. I don't know. Did Olga lift the mats and shake them around and the key did not fall off the bottom of the thing? It seems hard to believe, but she was very vehement about that. And again, it wasn't so much, that's a good idea, but don't worry. It was ta-ta. It was, I did this. I did this. Can't be that.
Done,
moving on.
Done.
Yeah. Moving on. Moving on with my theory. It's an interesting way to go, although it's not an interesting way to go if you're like in a lab or trying to cure AIDS or something like that, because Some Bunsen burner is going to burn down the whole place.
Jesus.
Anyway.
I just read something about Doug. Do you know he was supposed to be with us last week but got in a head-on collision?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Where does it say that?
At the
very bottom. What happened?
Driving up La Cienega in the left lane on the right side, driving north, and some dude just swerved into my lane and just came straight at me, like not slowing down. I hit my brakes, of course, but he just came right into me, kind of looked kind of out of it in the few seconds I saw him before my airbag deployed.
He's an old guy, like?
No, not too old, 50s.
Something happened to him?
I of course, jumped out of the car. I was fine, and I ran around to the passenger side of his car with that, at first just kind of like angry, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And I got there, and he was just like looking straight ahead, couldn't see any physical injuries. His airbag had deployed too. But he was just sitting there being pretty unresponsive. And there were people on the sidewalk going, should we call 911? I'm like, yeah, call right now. And cops and fire truck and all that showed up. They spent 2 seconds talking to me. Like, just me standing around going, I'm fine was enough for them.
Yeah.
And then with the guy, I never spoke to him. The cops took all of his info and gave it to me on a piece of paper. Mm. And then he still seemed really out of it to me. And I'm like, why aren't they arresting this guy? Like, what is this guy on that he just, you know, just swerves into? Yeah. So then they declared it no injuries at the scene. But then sent the guy to the hospital anyway.
Right. Sure.
Just for the heck of it.
Well, for ultra mental status.
Because he wanted to go. He said, I'll go. Yeah. You know, you should check
and
me
they'll
out.
Do they'll do drug screens there. Why? Why?
So I don't know what's happened with him since because, you know, my insurance company hasn't said anything about
it. Why? Was the car totaled or?
Which one?
Yours.
Mine was, my car is so old that my insurance company just said, once the airbags deploy and your car is over 10 years old, it's not worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to.
What were you driving?
Nissan, Altima.
Well, thank God you had the airbags in there.
Yeah.
So wait, did you get something new?
Not yet. No.
Driving the rental
car? No, I'm driving like a series of rental cars to make up my mind. But I think I want another Nissan. That car ran great for a long time. Like,
and what was the guy in who swerved?
He was in a Honda sedan from, I think, a 97 or something.
Wow.
Older car than mine.
And he was just, this was daylight hours kind of thing? And he just sort of started swerving over.
Just came straight over at me. The pictures I have of it, it's just like his car is just straight in my lane.
I always worry about shit like that on these streets that are big, long avenues where people travel at high rates because there's a lot of effed up people driving cars.
Yeah. It's true. It's an eye-opener that anybody could just, you know, swerve into you.
Oh, you got to be waiting for
that.
Now,
did you think to try to swerve away from
there
him?
There was no time for anything other than for me to brake and then get hit. Yeah. Like, I just saw him coming at me. And it was surreal because it was just like, what am I? Who's doing something wrong here? Why is this guy just coming right at me?
Did he break?
I don't think so. I think
they didn't have any skid marks or anything.
He went right into it, yeah.
Wow.
He was out of it.
He just came right at me. Like, that's where the car is supposed to go.
It's so weird that the cops didn't do the whole field sobriety and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they really treated him like he was just fine.
Probably because the paramedics said he's sick. Something's going on.
They seemed fairly confused, but then they just sort of. I think he went to the hospital because they kind of convinced him that he wanted to go.
Oh boy,
you know, like, don't you want to just get checked out just to be safe? And the guy's like, okay,
right. But look, the good news and the thing that we talked about: Doug's not suing anybody. Doug's getting a new car from his insurance. His airbag worked effectively. He's fine, right?
Yeah.
And
well, the insurance is going to give me some money, not enough for a new car, but
they're going to give you whatever you would have gotten on eBay for the old Nissan.
I didn't want to get rid of it yet. I wanted to keep going. I was trying to say, can't they just fix it? And they're like, once the airbags are deployed, like that's a really expensive thing to fix. And that's a good thing to learn. I didn't know that I was driving around on borrowed time, that it just took one time that somebody hits me from the front and my car is just officially done.
Well, you should step up to a modern, safer car anyway. So maybe this is a good thing.
That's
but
true.
What happened to dude? How come dudes don't like cars anymore, Drew?
That's another thing.
It's another part of our simulated life thing.
And they don't get their driver's license at 16. That's sort of like they don't get to that.
No.
Whatever. Yeah.
No. I had my nephew, 16 and a half. He's like, I got a permit. I'm like, don't you want to drive? He's like, I'm like, you want to drive my car? He's like, do I have to? I'm like, yeah, you should learn. You should drive. You know, and he's like, he's looking at me going, this is scary. You know, and I'm like, go, man. Put your foot into it, you know. And he's like, and I just think, you think what our attitude was when we were 15 and a half, you know, just like counting the days, you know.
I went to the driver's test the afternoon of my birthday. I mean,
almost everyone I knew, it was their birthday, or if their birthday was on a Saturday, then it Monday, DMV, you know.
That's like a California thing, I think.
Could be.
It could be. It certainly.
At least used to be.
I mean, where we hate our parents and we want to get as far away from them as humanly possible.
Yeah, you want, and also, I mean, when I got my license, I couldn't play these simulated driving games all the time. So, like, just getting to drive a car was so exciting.
Yeah.
Anthony, by the way, is on calling from Austin. He's 22. Anthony?
Hi, Adam. Thank you.
What's going on?
First of all, Doug, I'm a huge fan. I get Doug with Hi every Wednesday at 4:15 Pacific.
Oh, thanks for that plug. That was good.
My pleasure. Great to be talking to you. Adam and Drew, y'all are my heroes.
Thanks.
And I wanted to say, my question is, you know, I've been smoking weed like daily since I was 16, but I haven't had any of these negative problems you talk about. I'm about to graduate university a semester early. I own my own business. I do stand up most nights of the week, which you could say is a problem. But, you know, when at what point do you call it an addiction, and at what point is it just like, you know, that dude just smokes weed and also has goals, you know?
That's a tough question.
So
because
Doug's license plate frame, that's his new license plate frame for when he gets his new Sentra. That dude smokes weed and has goals.
What's interesting is you can hear the biological change in Anthony's voice.
You do sound like a stoner, dude.
Yeah, so there's a change. So there's been some consequence. The question is, what consequence is sufficient to motivate you to want to stop? And addiction is about consequences, and a lot of people smoke pot for long, long periods of time, and it works for them. And as long as it works for somebody, they're not going to stop. So it's when it becomes a problem. And cannabis has a really interesting kind of natural history to it. What happens is it's working, and then it starts wearing off. At some point in everyone's relationship with pot, the high starts wearing off. For some people, it's a year. For some people, it's 30 years, and we don't know why there's that huge difference. And so, Anthony, if the high starts wearing off, what do?
You smoke more.
Smoke more pot, get more powerful pot, get better weed. And that actually, that makes things worse typically. And then people often get depressed on the heel of that. And when they get depressed, they start looking for other things to get high with. And that's when they graduate to the stuff.
Drew, whether it's booze or pills or pot or whatever, is there a fair – would you accept a fair, you know, feedback. So put Anthony on hold. Would you accept something, for instance, these terms?
Okay.
They said, okay, you think you may have a problem with this substance, this pill, this weed, whatever it is. Let's see if you can go 2 months and you can only partake on a weekend, like in a Saturday night social, booze, pills, whatever you're into. Just let's see, nothing during the week. Saturday night comes along. I think if you said to people, quit for a month, they'd go, fuck that. But if you said, all right, what day is it? Tuesday? No pot till Saturday night when you're at a party.
You would say
what do you think?
I did a whole podcast, if you look that one up for me, on moderation. Mm-hmm. There's a team out there that's doing moderation. They're trying to select people. There may be a population within addicts who can tolerate, who are earlier in the disease, literally like before they really throw the switch and lose control, that may be responsive to moderation. And so these guys are trying to work with that population. We'll get to that the episode.
Would you ask Anthony to, let's say, go the weekdays without smoking and toke out on the weekend and see if you can pull it off. And if you can't, you're probably –
some people can dial it down and they're happier when they do. But here's the thing. When people don't want to stop and it's working for them, it's very hard to have that conversation.
Yeah. But he's
saying, do I have a problem? It's like, yeah, you probably will develop a problem.
But he's bringing it up because he thinks somewhere in the back of his mind that there may be a problem. Or if there's not a problem now, there's going to be a problem.
He's wondering why it's not a problem yet.
Episode 50 is the one you're going to. But Adam, my point is it takes a lot of work and effort to stop. And people have to be motivated to do that.
Yeah.
The motivation when it's working is hard to get that motivation.
But
I understand that.
I find people come to me all the time and say, I love your shows. I love what you do. I wish I could smoke with you, but I have a drug test coming up, or I'm applying for a job, or I'm entering the military, whatever it is. And people are stopping smoking for those motivations all the time.
Yeah.
And that, an alcoholic can't just
can. Some can. And
some
can.
But, they don't.
And the problem with what Adam's model holds is that there's often still progression. And you're sort of – and if there's progression, why not just let it progress anyway?
Well, I'll just give you a simple thing. It's not the same, but it's close. I fucking love pie. Like, I would have a nice slab of banana cream pie. I would finish every meal with a big wedge of banana cream pie and or pumpkin, depending on what the season was. But I would have a nice piece of pie with every – really, I'd have it for breakfast with a cup of coffee. But I'd certainly finish every dinner with a piece of pie. I really would. Yep. I really fucking love pie. Yep. But I sit around and I go, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work for me. But when Thanksgiving comes around, I'll have three pieces of fucking pie with extra whipped cream. And if it's a weekend or whatever, you know, I have the pie. Right. So I like pie.
Not addict.
I'm not dependent on it.
No.
But I really do fucking like pie.
But that's the trouble with the difference between pie and pot, though, is mm-hmm. if you only have pot every Saturday, that Saturday you're going to go really crazy with the pot. At least with pie you could get full. And you also not eating pie for a week doesn't make the pie taste extra incredible when you do.
But you do enjoy it.
If you wait a week, you're going to get an extra high because you weren't smoking for a whole week.
Well,
your
maybe
tolerance
that's
will come
maybe
back
that's
down.
That's a little argument for waiting
but then
out
that's,
the week.
But then that gets into the whole binge territory and like the, you know how people all only drink on Saturday night, and those people are like they're worthless all day Sunday because they drank so much on Saturday night. Why not have one or two drinks
Doug,
every night?
Can I ask you? To be honest for a second, were you high when you swerved into that guy's lane?
No, I wasn't.
Were you high?
No, and that's
withdrawing.
Fortunately, the evidence is
you weren't high is my question.
Well, you know, that's the thing is it's, you know, it stays in your system for a month.
But, yeah, I know. Were you a little freaked out when the cops and the fire department showed up?
I was, but I knew I wasn't high at the time, so right. I knew that it wasn't
going to
be.
Were you going to buy weed?
I was on my way to the dispensary.
Buying weed? Like, why were you not high?
He waved his prescription out. I've got
it hangs from his rear view.
I have this new, I do this new thing, and now that there's Uber and things like that, where I when I'm driving my own car, it's like for errands and stuff in the morning or to get to LAX or something. Mm-hmm. And then once I start smoking, at whatever point in the day I start smoking, for the rest of the day I don't drive.
Oh, good
so,
for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – it's something I realized a few years ago that I have to be even more cool. Like it'd be – you know, if that collision was my fault, that would be so embarrassing and so right. not making my point that you can live pretty normally and smoke right. as much as I do.
Well, the show, again, web series, Getting Doug with High, it streams live Wednesdays, 4:15 Pacific, youtube.com/Doug Benson. And of
yeah,
course,
we send a car for the guests so they don't have to drive home after
I'm
getting
planning on
really
it.
High.
Doug Loves Movies is the website, podcast Doug Loves Movies, Twitter at Doug Benson. And you can find out where he's going to be doing stand-up all around this great land of ours. Us, me and Dr. Drew, the best of Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver, all whacked in one beautiful little $4.99 package available on iTunes, so you can hear us live that way. Also, subscribe via the PayPal button. You know, we love that. And Borderline, that is tomorrow night. That's right, 8 o'clock, doing a live stand-up. And BevMo, 6 p.m. in Ventura. That'll be me and Stone Pelican, Mike August, there signing the bottles of Mangriere, at least handing you the stickers that have already signed of the label, because it's illegal to sign the bottles. It's an insane world we're living in. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll, Doug Benson, Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.